Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
You may remember last week I brought up a couple of times that I was looking to talk to somebody about, from a parent's point of view, how do you talk about things as serious as mass shootings? Obviously, coming off of the two mass shootings we saw last weekend where 30 people died in combined of the two events, it's very hard from my point of view, to have a one-year-old and know in a few years, I'm probably going to have to sit down and have a conversation with him to explain why he has a bulletproof backpack or why mommy's so scared to send him to school or whatever the case may be. And on the line with us this morning is Jenny Curry. She happens to be a family friend of ours, and she is a licensed counselor, and she has a lot of experience with children, speaking with children, also helping parents out, and she actually was a former teacher as well. Jenny, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
No, seriously, thank you so much, because I've just been kind of racking my brain, and I know a lot of our listeners have been, too, after what happened, of course, the past weekend. I guess we can dive right into it. What, in your professional opinion, is the best time to have that conversation with your kids? We kind of live in a time where they probably should know what's going on, but when would you say is the best time to have that talk?
Well, I mean, like you said, unfortunately, because of the nature of things, we're forced to have that conversation sooner than we would like and prefer, but it's interesting. It really depends on the development of the child and how, you know, quickly or how broad of a conversation that can be. You know, I think initially when it first happens, the idea is that we want our kids to feel safe first and foremost. And, you know, if they're younger than 8 years old, it's not even necessary to bring it up unless they're directly influenced or traumatized or have been told the information. But, you know, when they're like 8 years old and above, you want to keep it as simple as possible. And then as they kind of get older into, you know, pre-teenage, it's really a lot of talking about the feelings as well that they're processing. I had actually come across a great article on today.com by Megan Holloman, and she really breaks down specifically with each age group as well how to have that tough conversation. But probably sooner rather than later, because you don't want the peers and the media to fill in those blanks.
I think that's the biggest fear. You're exactly right. It's so easy for kids, teenagers, to access information immediately, especially if they're handed a phone, of course, or they just can have access to a television, anything really. How do children process trauma? I know everybody's kind of different, but you just said, you know, that unless it comes to you directly from your child, maybe not even to talk about it really until they're at least eight. I mean, is that because kids really process trauma probably differently than adults do, I'd imagine?
They do, yeah. You know, this article talked about how before the age of eight, they really don't effectively know what to do with that. And then, you know, starting when they're at that young age, you want to keep it even simple, like a sentence. And also the importance of highlighting the positive things and the way that people were there to come in and rescue and to protect at the scene of what had happened. Because we as parents, we have so much power in how we frame it. And we have to be honest with our kids, but sometimes less is more. And also framing it in a way that in the midst of all the horrible, they can still see that there was good and that we are still there to protect them. Because at a young age, they really don't know fully how to grasp that.
We're talking to Jenny Curry, who's a licensed professional counselor, and she has a lot of experience with kids and being able to talk to your children. Would you give us any kind of advice, Jenny, as to how should parents, how should, you know, I look at myself or really any listeners who are grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, whoever is in direct contact with a child, how should they go about talking about it? I know you said there's obviously different time frames of when you should, like maybe a certain age bracket as to when they should talk, but how do they go about that conversation? You know, I think you kind of touched on the fact that you don't want your kids to find out from a third party source or something. Mm-hmm. You want to be the one that kind of gave them that information. So how do you go about doing that where they don't feel unsafe or they're too scared to go to school, but they get the information they need?
Right. Well, I think even before we have the talk with our kids, we just have to check our own selves as adults and as parents to know where we're at, because if we are extremely anxious, we're going to pass that along to our kids, and they're going to pick up on that, and they're going to feel unsafe, or if they're tapping into the rage that we're feeling. So I think first and foremost, we have to be self-aware. And then beyond that, you know, we can, for example, if it's a really young child, maybe the child can draw a picture. Sometimes art is a really good outlet for kids, and that can be a jumping off point to talk a teeny bit about what happened. Again, trying to keep it brief. And then also as they get a little bit older, you know, the preteens, the teenagers, talking about how they felt about it, even more than the events and the facts, can be more powerful. And sometimes they're just really wrestling with processing their emotions. And especially because quite often it's going to be those older kids and teenagers who have the direct impact with what's happened.
Jenny Curry, you are a local licensed professional counselor. Is there any way for people to find your information or contact you if they have any questions or want to use your services? I think you're great, and you've given us so much insight this morning.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, I'm actually located on Cherry Street in Milford, and I have a website, www.jennycurriecounseling.org. And all my information is on there, and feel free to look me up and send me a message. I'd love to talk to you.
Jenny Curry, we thank you so much for being on our show this morning and shedding some light on how to talk to our kids in a really difficult time right now. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
An interesting article came across. Of course, we are just about a little over a week since those mass shootings happened, both in Ohio and Texas. And interestingly enough, a movie that was supposed to hit theaters in September is now pulling the plug for now. And they say a lot of that is because of the pressure from President Trump. Now, backing up a second, Universal Pictures says it will be canceling the release of The Hunt. Have you heard of this movie?
No, I've not.
I never heard of it. I was reading a little bit on it. I'm surprised that they would even make a movie like this, to be honest, and that it was going to come to theaters. Basically, it sounds like, again, this is just according to Universal Pictures, they kind of just gave a little synopsis. It's basically elites, people who are very rich, go to this area of either town or something, it sounds like, and they hunt people who are poor, it sounds like. They almost go like human hunting for sport. I know it's kind of even sick to say it out loud, but this is a movie. Tracy, this is a movie that is supposed to be coming out. And it's, again, hard to swallow that we can't come up with better storylines than this, but apparently this is what Universal Pictures was going to put out there. And again, whether you are for or against the president, the fact that this was a good idea for a movie, I think is tasteless, but you know, who am I? But it sounds like they're now not going to be airing it September 27th, which they were supposed to be hitting the theaters that day because of the mass shootings in Texas and Ohio, which killed more than 30 people. I don't think it should be released at all.
At all.
I mean,
let's just pull it.
It's
off
right.
The table.
I mean, I'm sorry if they took a loss for money, but I'm sorry. How is this? Who sat down in a room and thought this is a good idea?
Well, not only that, but I mean, these shootings are horrific, obviously, but these aren't the first shootings that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And obviously these movies take a while to be made, but there were several shootings before this.
Yes.
So why are we, you know,
I mean,
the art, you know, it mimics reality or reality mimics art. I mean, just no, just don't go there.
Exactly. And you bring up such a great point. I mean, the two shootings that we had not this past weekend, the weekend before, is more than 250 we have seen this year. This year alone,
right,
in the U.S. And the fact that this was an idea to even make a film like this, I just think we really can't find something better to look at.
Exactly.
We're really, you know, we're going to make money off of people hunting each other. I mean, is that what the world's come to? Again, like I said, you could be a President Trump follower. You could, you know, despise him. honestly. You could go either way with this, but I think the fact that the president blasted the entertainment industry,
So he's the one that prohibited
it? He didn't call them out specifically. He called out a number of films that have been coming out or are set to come out that basically are, talking about violence. They're kind of glorifying dangerous situations. He wasn't happy about it. And I think they kind of came back. Universal Pictures said, it's just not the right time to release a film like this, coming off the hills.
Next year would be the right time.
Right. Like, is there ever a right time to release a film about hunting humans?
No.
Humans hunting humans?
No.
I don't know.
With the whole, that's what I'm saying. I mean, okay, so maybe it took them a year, maybe it took them 2 years to make this movie, but that's what I'm saying. These shootings started way before that.
Exactly.
And the whole gun
I mean, Sandy
control,
Hook happened way before that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You think people are going to pay money to watch? I mean, and if they do, I just think, again, it just reflects poorly on the decisions we make sometimes as humans. It baffles me, honestly, because I kept reading through some of our top social media posts and stories that are being shared, and I kept seeing the hunt canceled. And I kept thinking, I'm just going to click on this. I don't even know what this is. I had never heard of this film, but it, again, was supposed to come out next month. It was supposed to hit theaters. And the only reason they're delaying it is because they said the timing isn't good following the two shootings. Which I think is...
But like you said, if there's been, 250, did you just say?
A little over 250 this year in the U.S. That's just this year. And we're not even done with this year.
Yeah.
We still have months to go.
Honestly, right.
You know,
we're not even three quarters done with this
year. We're not looking good this year. So it's, I just think the fact that somebody sat down in a room and thought this was a good idea, first of all... again, I know that's my opinion, and what does my opinion matter? It's no more important than anybody else's, but I just think, we can't find any other better storylines. I have to say, it's one of those times where I definitely tip my hat. Like I said, if the president is or is not your favorite person, that really doesn't have to do with this at all. I think you're talking about humankind. And, everybody was touched by these shootings, whether it was the one that just, the two recent ones that just happened, whether it's something that's happened here in Connecticut years ago, whatever it is, everyone has been, you don't even have to know the people.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know anyone. Yeah, I don't know anyone personally who was in the Dayton shootings or, in either shooting.
But our heart goes out.
Oh, my heart bled. I went home after reading the news on that and just held my son and cried. I mean, that's the honest truth. I mean, I didn't know anyone personally, but it doesn't matter. I mean, when you have a heart, you just go home and you think to yourself, thank God I have another day on this earth. Thank God my loved ones are still here. You know what I mean? You just, so for people to sit around and think, how can we profit off of humans killing humans? I think it's despicable.
I also think it goes towards that problem of desensitizing people to these shootings, and I mean, obviously the movies we have, the television shows, but this is reality now. I mean, this is really happening, all these shootings. And the more it just becomes, mundane and we hear about it, it's awful.
It is.
We cannot become desensitized to hearing about these shootings.
Right. It can't just become second nature, which it's becoming.
That's the problem. It's like,
we might as well capitalize on it. Let's make a movie out of it.
I just think it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's 9:30. You know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And with us on the line is Lieutenant Jim Perez with the Fairfield Police Department. Of course, it's Crime on the Mind this Monday morning. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Well, there was a topic that you and I really wanted to dive into last week, but of course, in the wake of the two mass shootings, we kind of dove into that, which was obviously really important, but sort of bringing things back here, especially in Fairfield, where you're the lieutenant of the department there, we want to talk about storm safety. It was something that a couple weeks back, I talked to the first selectman in Fairfield, and while I appreciated that he came on the line and he talked to us kind of in length about
what Fairfield is doing to make sure that we don't see any more tragedies. I have to be honest, there were a lot of times where I felt like, but is enough being done? And why do I feel like there's a black cloud over Fairfield right now? I mean, first of all, from your professional opinion, what is lacking in Fairfield? Why are people getting hurt driving in storms and trees are just falling on them? I don't hear this happening in any other towns.
Well, I think that one of the things is that, you know, Fairfield, you know, with its rich history and all the landscape that we have, we have an overabundance of trees. And, you know, and although that makes the town look beautiful, there are times where we need to kind of take control and sort of try to trim them back. Now, I know that we've been working on that for the last 2-3 years, really since Sandy Hook. We've been working on it, but I guess, you know, we have, you know, 33 square miles of land, and I guess it's difficult to do, but I will tell you what we need to do is we need to trim back all the trees that, especially, you know, that can affect a vehicle or a person, that we control. And I think that, UI is currently working with us in doing that. I know that, you know, for some places and for some towns, it's a little bit different. Maybe they have a little bit more of an aggressive program. Maybe, you know, it's in the budget. But I know that it's very difficult when you have that many trees, that many cars. But I'll tell you, people also have to take responsibility, though. And they can do this in checking around and making sure that if there's a danger, to save something. I always talk about non-normal saving your life. Non-normal can save your life in a lot of different ways. But checking your property and making sure that, especially before a storm approaches, the great thing about hurricanes is that we have a lot of warning ahead of time. So there's a lot of different things that you can do in preparation for that. I've often said this before, that as town employees, whether it's the police department, fire department, or whatever agency it is, we can't do everything ourselves. We really do need the participation of everyone in this, and that means every community member. So by every community taking check of all their properties and making sure that things are in order or anything that's dangerous that it's pointed out, that's what local government is there for, to actually assist you in doing that. And so without that, sometimes we just have no clue until it actually happens. And so, you know, the first thing that people need to do is they need to have, especially for storm prep, they should have what's called a go bag. That's having emergency items inside of there, including medications, battery-powered radios, flashlights, evacuate suddenly. You can do that very quickly. But more importantly, take an assessment of your home. Look around your home, your property, and make sure that if you see anything that might pose a risk or a danger to people or to vehicles or to even the home, that you either report it. If it's on your private property side, you know, you have the responsibility of calling a contractor and getting that done. If it's on the public side, then you have the responsibility of calling town officials so that we can do this. But keep in mind that every time you call the town, and it doesn't matter for what the issue is, there are a slew of other people in line in which the town is responding to. So, you know, with 60,000 residents, 2 major universities, 2 major highways with several exits on it, 5 beaches, a lake, we are very busy. And so, there's a lot of different issues that take place in town. And so by the people helping us, that would make it easier for us.
Lieutenant Jim Perez, who's with the Fairfield Police Department, we're talking about storm prep and making sure that you're ready for the next storm that rolls into town, or if you get caught up in something like that, how can we prevent seeing those issues? Fairfield's had a pretty awful track record this summer. I don't think that's any news to anyone. We had 2 deaths because of fallen trees. We've had 2 people, 3 rather, that have been trapped, but 2 cars that have been trapped in other situations. It just has not been the best track record this summer for storms in Fairfield. And I will say, First Selectman Mike Tetreault definitely acknowledged it. He did say, you know, that it's been unfortunate that they've had to work very closely with UI and making sure that the response is done well and things like that. But I will say one thing he said that really didn't sit too well with me was the fact that, you know, we're having different kinds of storms. You know, we have global warming, things like that, and the storms are more wicked. You know, the homes are much closer together, where, you know, I can understand, like, we are more, it's supposed to be more rural, but we've made it more city. All of those points are true, but we've had more homes than, you know, in the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years, that I just don't remember there being a summer, Lieutenant, where we had four incidences. It's almost like every time there's a storm, I'm expecting to see Fairfield in the headlines. And I just don't think because we're having wicked storms, that's why we're seeing this uptick in trapped cars.
Well, I will tell you this, that we have had an increase in population, and that's for certain, and in structures and buildings. But I will say this, it is very difficult to predict weather events. It really is, whether it's a microburst that runs through, which happened with us not too long ago, or whether it's a predicted storm where we have time to prep. As much as you prep, there's always going to be an unknown or something that comes out of left field. But one thing that we can do is learn from these incidences and then be more aggressive in actually responding to them. And I think that what we should be, I'm not a tree expert and I'm not a expert in municipal management, but I will tell you this. One thing that seems to be clearly obvious, and this is for the safety of all of our officers as well as all of our citizens and all of our visitors, is we need to have an aggressive program in making sure that all the trees of any threat be either reduced or removed entirely. And I think that's something that maybe we can work on. But I will tell you this. I know that after one of the major storms, I believe it was Sandy Hook, the state on Route 58 became so aggressive that it changed the landscape view. And I remember that. And I remember being like, wow, why is this being done? But then I understood it, that it's because of safety. So town officials are always looking for our safety measures and how to counter. But you have to understand when you're managing 60,000 people and all these resources that we have, it can become very difficult for any one person to be responsible for, an unforeseen event. But one thing that we can do for sure is help prevent it from moving forward from this point forward. And I think the way to do that is to be very aggressive in those areas.
Lieutenant Jim Perez with the Fairfield Police Department, we thank you so much for giving us the time for Crime on the Mind this Monday morning. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great week, guys.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you next week. We both have kids, and this story, I think, is one of the top stories, surprisingly, that's trending all over social media right now. So I'm going to read it, and you let me know how you would respond, whether you're the parent or if your kids wanted to go to a party like this. Apparently, there's a woman in the UK. She recently posted on a British website for moms about an issue she had with another mom. She claims that this mom was throwing a 14th birthday party for her son at a go-kart track. Okay, fine. But she's charging every person attending $82 to cover the carts, the transportation, all of that. And she even asked them to bring their own lunch. So how would you, first of all, would you ever throw a birthday party like that?
Well, I think that's really ridiculous, first of all, to ask people to come and do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always of the opinion, if you can't afford to really host it, then just do something at your house. Mm-hmm. Like have a little cake, a little ice cream, a few candles, call it a day.
Yeah, exactly. They just want to be
games
with their friends.
Yeah, exactly. But $82?
Now, what if you had a kid who was friends with this person? Would you bring them to that party or would you be like, listen?
Maybe we would have to be busy.
I'm thinking we're going to be sick that day.
I'm thinking we're sick that day or, just happen to have plans that 3 months out or whatever it was. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I can understand why this is one of the top stories, just because even though it's not happening right here in the U.S., it's something that I'm sure every parent would weigh in on.
Yeah.
You know, would you let your kid go to a party where you've got to pay a cover charge?
That's nuts. But I think in general, some of these parties get way out of hand. Mm-hmm. And it's like one has to be better than the other. And, you know, these kids sometimes are judging the parties like, oh, that was lame because, there wasn't the, Big Apple Circus there in the backyard or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's better to get back to basics a little bit.
I think so.
Dial it down.
Yeah.
Maybe from the $82 cover fee.
Yeah, right?
And bring your lunch.
Bring your lunch. Not even going to cover that. Yeah. Well, it's kind of, I feel the same way, Tracy, as, what we see with weddings these days. I think people, I have to say, I had a friend of mine, we didn't make it to his wedding because we have a toddler, and it was in Spain, and there was no way we were going to, first of all, pay for the flights to go to Spain. Like, I love you to death, and we've been friends for 15 years, but there's just no way. And he had a ceremony back here, so I thought, that's fine. We'll wait for the Connecticut ceremony. But his wedding was somewhere around $100,000, and I just can't even swallow or fathom. I know my husband and I, we pulled our money together. My parents helped down, and I thought we had a nice ceremony. You would not have known that it was six times less than that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't feel, maybe we didn't have all the flowers, but I don't know.
And you know what? I think in that same vein, we're kind of losing touch of what is the wedding, what is the real purpose of the wedding. Yes, it's amazing to have, an incredible party and a beautiful venue and all that. But, when you add in, $100,000, that's a really great down payment on a house.
Exactly.
Do a little lesser wedding or something more simple.
Exactly.
Or invite fewer people or whatever you're going to do. But I think it's kind of that bigger is better.
Yeah, I don't know when we made that shift.
I don't think it's better necessarily.
No, and I think it kind of gets you started on the wrong foot. You kind of come back from your honeymoon and you think, oh my gosh, I have bills for my own wedding, let alone paying rent or a mortgage or a car payment or whatever the case may be, or let alone just wanting to go out to lunch with your new wife. It's not going to happen because that money is going to go towards your wedding payments. I don't know, but it kind of sounds like it's very similar here. I think a mom wanted to go above and beyond, which that's very, that's amazing. I know I'd love to give my son the world. Can I? No, but I would love to. So I get that aspect, but to charge people, I don't know. That's not, I wouldn't, exactly what you said. I'd probably find other plans and say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I can't make it.
Did the story go on to say how many people RSVP'd?
Not one person showed up, which I think is so sad for your son. Your son just had a party of no one. Yeah. So no one even came. So I mean, that's like the worst part. Talk about traumatizing your child. Like, I know the intention, again, was to give your child the world, but you totally...
It backfired.
It absolutely backfired. So it's kind of a bummer story, but good question. Because, that was one of my first was, did anybody even show up? Like, out of just, oh my gosh, I feel horrible. But no, not one person showed up to that party. Our question of the day, I posted a picture of my little guy, Chase, because he just had his first birthday a month ago. And the caption was, it didn't cost family or friends a penny to attend Chase's birthday party. I don't know about you, but there's a new report this morning saying a UK mother charged people $82 to attend her son's 14th birthday party, and a lot of them were very upset about it. In fact, no one showed up to her son's birthday party. So the question of the day was, would you pay the money to send your child to a party with a cover charge? And Tracy, it looks like we got a lot of answers, a lot of feedback.
Overwhelmingly, basically, right?
A lot of people. There were a couple, I have to say, who tried to give a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, but ultimately it was no's across the board. I mean, let's start with Sandra Earle, who said, that's crazy. I've never heard of such a thing. Me neither, Sandra.
Exactly. Greg Dolan Jr. said, I would never, ever charge anyone to send their child to my kids' birthday parties. That's just very wrong to do.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Greg. I can't see doing that either. This is one of the people who tried to give a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, if you will. Roy Klein says, if the parents are invited and it's a lobster bake, maybe. Sorry, Roy. This was at a go-kart track, and I think they were having pizza for lunch. In fact, they weren't even getting lunch.
Right.
They had to bring their lunch.
Right.
So hardly, hardly a lobster bake. No, good try, though, Roy. We appreciate it.
Sharing a body? No, that's just wrong.
Mm-hmm. Kathy Decker said, no, birthday parties. That's four kids to have fun. It's four kids to have fun with their friends. And this mother just thought about the money. It seems that way. I agree with you, Kathy.
Lucille Esposito Rumo said, I would never ask parents to pay a cover charge to attend a birthday party. If the parent can't afford it, they should have it at a different place. However, if they ask for an extra little something to be donated to charity, then I would. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I like that way of,
that.
You know what I mean? If it's like, hey, we're raising money for Autism Speaks, so we're looking for people. But I've heard of that before, Tracy, where, hey, instead of giving my kid a gift, we'd like a donation.
Right.
That's totally different. It didn't sound like that was the case this at all.
No. Especially $82 worth of
How
cost.
Awkward, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. You know that there was something behind that. Mary McClellan Gomes says, for me, it depends. What was the money for? Ah, there it is, Mary. If it was for charity, I probably would. But if it was for their own personal gain, no.
Yeah.
There you
Tonya
go.
Tonya Farnham, that's just simply disrespectful to other parents. I would feel like I was buying their time.
That's a good point, Tonya. Yeah, and like I said, nobody showed up to that party, so that's probably how
and
they
how
felt.
How sad for the kid.
I know. You really kind of just humiliated him.
Right.
Can you imagine him going back to school and, hey, guys, sorry my mom charged you guys.
Yeah.
Like,
that's just...
Oh, it's awkward. Not cool. Lori Shaw said, nope, celebrate with family and friends and let the mom and dad and others in the family make the sides, grill some yummy food, and everyone get that baby a great gift. Yeah, that's kind of how we did Chase's birthday. I know we did the grilling, my husband and I, my in-laws and my parents brought some of the side dishes, and everybody else just showed up and had a good time. I mean, I did the decorations. What were we going to charge people for? I don't get it. Come to our backyard and just celebrate our kids.
But I do love the charity aspect of it.
I do too.
Even in lieu of gifts sometimes.
Yes.
And, you know, there are times when kids really want those gifts, but, you know, I think that too can get a little extravagant.
I think so too. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't need to. A friend of mine was actually talking about, she went to a birthday party and the little boy, he was 8, opened up a card that had $100 in it.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
So I'd hand that. I mean, a lot of people handed my son Chase a check. Mm-hmm. I didn't hand it to him, but gave us a card and said, just make sure you keep an eye on it because that's for his college fund. Now, see I thought that was a great gift. That's
absolutely
great. But you're not going to hand it.
An 8-year-old that's just going to go out and like.
No. Give him a card and maybe a little like book or something and then say to the parents, hey, I really wanted to give him this to go into his bank account, whatever the case may be.
Exactly.
You don't hand it to him, no.
And Sue Palizzo said, heck no. Mary Seymour summed it up, said, nope, that's crazy.
I agree, Mary. You're absolutely right. It is crazy.